All right, we're back. We finished Esser's reaction turn, so now we should be at the top of the order, correct?
Yeah.
Excellent. Top of the order. What you doing there, Milo?
Ooh. Let's see. If I maneuver around, how can I get more than two in a line?
Yes, if you proceed to do some nice little like, quick pace movement around, because of the combat that's happening on the deck, there's one tiefling engaged with both Savin and one tiefling with the captain, and the other two tieflings are kind of trying to figure out their way to space up, and if you get to the right way, they will be in a line.
Oh, I can hit all four. Wonderful. We'll do that.
Sure.
As I unleash a lightning bolt.
Okay. What do I need to roll here?
It will be four dexterity saves.
Oh, God. Okay. 4d20s slash 4. Roll 4d20s. Each of them are plus 2. So a 6, a nat, a 7, and a 2. So three of them fail, and one critically succeeded.
Okay, so the ones that failed will take the full 30 lightning damage. Oh boy.
Yep.
And then it'll be halved for the success, unless you want to make critical successes better than that.
That's fine. Okay, so tiefling, we're gonna roll a. So I'm gonna do it right across the line. So it's 4, 5, 6, and 7. 4 is currently fighting Bronson, so fighting Savin, so that one is gonna take 30 damage. That one is now, like, in a bad condition. That one is alive. This one is fighting the captain. This one is now, this one's now dead.
The one that's fighting the captain?
Yes.
Okay.
It took more damage than the one that you did damage to. And then the one that's also floating around and hasn't done anything has taken 30 points of damage. Okay, there's 36 damage marked on the one fighting you, Savin. There is 17 damage on the one that's next to it, and there's 30 damage on the
did
one.
Did get healed?
You've only done 6 to it so far from what I have tracked. Did you do more to that than I don't know about?
I did. Well, I've only hit once with the crit.
How much damage was that total?
17.
Oh, that's that one. Okay. The one you fought is dead. Never mind. Sorry. The one you pierced is also fried. So the ones that make sense. The ones that have been in combat with the two fighters are now, and they just fall over and just hit the ground. And you look over your shoulder and you see this 17-year-old kid just sitting there like wide-eyed and all sorts of surprises or just casting lightning spells left and right.
He just looks up, waves, and just goes, I guess that was a shock, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, silence.
Dead silence.
I'll leave.
Okay. So this is going to take 30 damage then. No, this one saved. So this one's going to be marked. So there's two tieflings left on the deck. One looks hella burnt, as close to the edge. And the other one saved, so they're at full health. They've taken no damage because you've only fought. You fought one.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, okay. your turn. Yep.
Is there one next to the captain?
There is one closer to the captain, and there's one closer to you. So it's
okay.
You
can move. Opponents. Yeah, I'll move to the one near the captain.
Sure.
And I guess hold my attack.
Sure.
Could I? Yeah, I'll wait until the captain attacks that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to set it up so you're kind of like flanking, so you'll try to give each other opportunities, attack of opportunities?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll set it up so like the way you want to stand is so like if the captain slides this way, you can each get a attack of opportunity trying to pierce around the armors.
Yeah.
So we have that set up, and you're holding to wait until the captain attacks first.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. That's your turn. Captain's turn. Captain proceeds to lunge at this target. So Captain's going to attack, and then you're going to attack.
Yeah.
Roll 2d20s. 14, which hits. It's going to roll 2d6. Captain's going to do 9 piercing damage to this one. And you hear the sound of bounce, bounce. It's not even like trying to find a weak spot. It just looks for the right corner and just right in there. And this tiefling and like groans and drops to a knee. Still alive, still there. Just drops.
Okay. Then
you'll attack.
26. So that's 11 damage, and then sneak attack damage if it matters. 21 damage total.
How do you want to kill this?
I don't know, stab through the head.
And you just hear a sickening wet sound as the blade just goes through the back of the head, comes out the floor.
Yeah, very, very quick and brutal. On to the next one.
And then it just slides off the back, off the forward of your sword. There's one tiefling now versus the two of you, like, in fighting mode repose, getting ready to go. It's gonna take its turn trying to do a wide slash against both of you. See if it works. Roll a d20. 14, is that gonna hit you?
I don't think so. I think it's, 15 AC. Yeah,
does not hit the captain either. Slides right off the armor on both of you. And it's like trying to like push itself off. It then proceeds to yell and shout for its boat. Not the sailing boat, but the one next to it. There's a rapport yelling back. You tilt your head and look, and they're getting ready to bring another wave over. So you have a turn worth of actions to either A, defend again, or B, try to get the boats to be unconnected.
Okay.
So I'll give you another on your next turn. That's your what do I do in response before that?
And we're still hanging down, right?
Mm-hmm. You're still angled. You're still floating down. You're floating down. That boat has definitely. You're still moving at the same speed. You're still falling because that boat is also falling with you.
Yeah.
You have the sword in the wheel, so the wheel is not moving and is angled to go. Daron.
We still have the one that's fighting me.
Yep. The one that is fighting you. That's the save I have to make, or that's the damage you're doing?
That's the damage I'm doing. I don't know why it's not showing you the save. I have, I think, 13 or 14 to save. Let me check. 14. So he doesn't save. He takes 17 radiant damage.
And this is the boxer one that's like fighting with you. 17. You finally you killed it with its spiritual guard. It's like you've both been like punching each other back and forth, fighting, trying to get over this. And you're just like you look up at it, and as it's about to swing at you, you just hear the angelic noise effect in the back of your mind, and as it just poof, and you just hear and just becomes destroyed with radiant damage and is now dead. And if it bursts into light in front of you and is no longer there, now it's your turn.
Thank Dominia for your help. I'm going to stand up and... how far is the captain away? Can I run to the captain and heal it?
I would say it would take your... I would let you run across the deck and heal, but you cannot make a combat action.
Yeah, that's my action anyways.
Okay, you're going to run across the deck.
I'm going to cast... cure wounds on her.
Sure.
So she heals 10 hit points.
Excellent. She is plus 10 hit points. Okay. Alright.
Yep, that's my turn.
That's your turn? Okay, cool. Top of the order. Milo.
There we go. Right. So, how many are left? Not many, I assume.
One near the captain.
Yep.
And the rest of us.
There's one tiefling on the boat. There is a call for more tieflings. You're seeing movement from the second boat. The boat above you has not dropped any more troops yet. I think that's the training boat. They don't really seem to know what they're doing. And that's currently what's happening right now. You're still falling.
I am going to maneuver around so I can see where they're coming off of this second boat.
Okay. You maneuver and look over, and you're seeing that there's another grouping of soldiers starting to like gather weapons and grabbing some like grappling, like harpoon weapons with ropes, so they can like tether you down. They're spending their turn preparing to try to get prepared to continue latching onto the boat. And they're sent their first force over, and they were expecting them to be maintaining the space while they got ready.
Okay. In which case, can I get right up to the edge of the boat, or no?
Sure.
Can I breathe some lightning down on them?
Yep, you can try.
Cool. They'd have to make dex saves. It's a 15-foot cone.
Okay. Alright, so 1, 2, not 100 d20s, 1 d20. It's like the game wants me to make it hard. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 that you can see coming up. 117, 122, 21, 113, 1 bad, 1 bad, with a natural 1.
So that is 4 failures and 2 successes. So the failures take 11 lightning damage.
Yep.
And the successes take 5.
Yep, sounds good. Okay. All right. Anything else?
You ran over,
did your lightning attack? Cool. Bronson, you look, Savin, you look over and you see your lightning mage that's doing crazy stuff run over to the edge of the boat, look down, shout, and burn, and like cast lightning spells across the whole deck. This is a moment where you have the opportunity to do something about this predicament. What would you like to do? Because they're now being attacked and distracted, you're getting an extra space here to do something.
Isn't the ship like latched into the boat?
Yep, but can you find a way with your prior experience to steer the boat, trying to move it so you could shift, like shake it type situation? If you twist the boat, maybe you can drop them. You don't.
But that might fling the mage, and like just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that, I think we're doing okay.
Okay.
These guys are kind of pushovers. he says, maybe winning right now.
I want everybody to remember this moment.
So yeah, I'll just move in on the one that's still here, and I'll look at the captain, like motion towards the one that's still here, and then I'll do the same thing where I'll move up to it and wait for her to attack it.
You're going to close ranks of the last one, do the same thing, set yourselves up.
Yeah.
Okay, DM's turn. Okay, there are no tieflings for Daron to fight. There's no tieflings for Jace to fight. There's the one that's going to come after the captain and Bronson, or Captain
the
Seven.
Is the one is still in my range, in 15 feet?
No. Oh, wait, from where you are from healing? Yes, it is, because you moved across the captain field. They are technically in range. You are healing the captain, right? You came up to heal the captain. So you're standing.
I healed the captain.
So you're standing next to the captain. Savin standing at the same ready to square off with that tiefling. That tiefling is good.
They need to make a.
Oh man.
A save. A wisdom save.
Pass.
Yeah. Okay. So he takes 7 radiant damage.
Okay. It's taken 13 damage total. From what my log says. Alright, the one that's that tiefling is going to make an attack against the captain. It's going to roll against. Yeah. Nope. Horribly. That's almost a 1, almost a critical failure. Instead, it's a 2. And they're like trying to lash out type of situation and misses. Savin, you get your reaction. If the captain attacks first was your reaction.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah, that's my reaction.
Okay. Captain's going to attack. Captain rolled a 2. We're back to boxers that don't know how to square off.
19 hit.
19 hits.
And then, so, 16 damage total.
How do you want to kill this one?
Say, like, very, like, straightforward. Just, like, stab through the head or chest and then push it off and move on.
Sweet. Excellent. That's going to happen. Before the tieflings on the boat get to react, I need everybody to make a dexterity save.
Uh-oh.
Everybody?
Yep. Okay. Good. Okay.
Nine.
All right. Oof. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, so so the boat is at a 70-degree angle, right? And it's at this point as you're all, like, in the... Like, you have that moment of reprieve. You have the moment to breathe. You just fought off all the tieflings. And then all of a sudden, you just hear the... And the noise from the engine just kind of cuts out beyond... And then all of a sudden you look over and you're seeing a cloud of black smoke coming out from the back of where the engine is. It looks like you've overtaxed it, / something has become damaged. You are now falling faster.
That's not supposed to happen. At least not yet.
Not yet. Milo, you were at the side of the boat and had your hands latched on the boat as you did your lightning attack. You are currently safe right now, being held onto. Daron and... Savin have been doing combat actions, have been dancing on their feet. They weren't ready for the boat to make this shift. You're both going to slide and fall against the back of the boat, and you're both going to, you know, take a d6 of damage or fall across the floor. And you're starting to, like, you're now, like, having to, you have to spend your turn to get up because you are now falling with the pressure holding you down on the ground. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The captain's also going to make a dex. I'm going to roll for the crew as one massive d20. The crew, most in their various spaces of what they were doing with their activities, were holding on, so they're all latched on. They're not taking any damage. The captain definitely fails because she was fighting with you, right? Oh, you and her were both combating, so we'll
go.
Some quick on her feet, but. Quick on her feet, but she's going to fall against the wall. Like she's also pinned to, like, holding on to where she is.
How high up are we?
From you are...
Because, like, some rounds have gone by.
Yes. Six. Six rounds. You have one more round before, like... You have one... You're getting to the point now where if you fell from the sky right now, you need to make sure that you have something to land on, not just the ground. Like, you need some trees or a mountainside, something to break some impact.
Is there anything below us?
Make a perception check. As you're, like, lined up against the wall, you're, like, looking over to, like, looking through, like, like, looking up.
How much is this going to hurt?
Yep.
Two, five, 9.
You look down, there's trees. There's a lot of trees. You just got to make sure that, you know, you're at this point where you're gonna next turn is gonna be the turn to get up and move, and then the turn after that one is the beginning of, like, you need to figure out a way to brace yourself type of situation.
You'll be fine. We're gonna survive this.
Excellent. All right. So that was that turn. Because of the ship is falling, all the tieflings and other boat are also dealing with the fact that they're falling with you because they're stuck into you, and they're spending their turn trying to figure out what they're going to do. They're going to roll. They're going to make a check to see if they want to. They fail trying to disembark, so they're falling with you, and their ship is not strong enough to carry the weight of your ship. So they are falling and not able to break your speed with their engine right now. The ship above you is like, huh. And they have to spend their turn undoing their setup to drop down, so they're not ready to catch you. They're going to pursue slowly.
Yeah.
Daron, you're up.
Well, Daron is going to stand up and, like, praying.
Yep.
To that they stay safe, basically.
Excellent. Milo, you're up.
Okay.
You are falling.
Milo's probably finding that quite fun. In a sort of, this is potentially life-ending, but hang on, this is kind of cool, sort of way.
You got a dab on your way down.
Yeah, just... I can't believe I just did that. Yeah, so... Tieflings.
Mm-hmm.
Can I catch the bulk of them with a spell, perchance?
They, because of the way the ship fell and, like, how they did not do well on their dexterity saves, they are, like, scattered across the deck now.
Ah, damn it.
Like, you could probably... I'll give you two next to each other type of situation, but you won't be able to get the whole group.
Okay. Yeah. I probably won't cast spells just yet then. Oh, actually, no. I can breathe lightning on them.
Yep.
That's a thing I can do.
Alright, you do that. Go ahead and make that... what do I need to do?
Deck saves.
Deck saves times 6. Slash, roll, 1d20. And then I add 2 to all these. 1. Fail. Pass. Fail. Fail. Critically fail. Critically succeed.
Okay, so all the failures take 8 lightning damage, and the passes take 4.
Okay, sounds good. Alright, no one's dead yet.
I should be holding on for dear life.
And you're holding on for dear life, oh god, no! Alright, Savin, you're up.
So I have to, what, use my movement to get up?
Yeah, more or less. You have to spend your movement to get up, and then this is your planning turn to do something before you're going to start falling. Before you need to plan. How do I want to phrase this? I want to make sure this works narratively. You need to spend your turn. You need to spend half your movement to get up, and then you have half movement.
Okay.
You can do stuff like in the deck you're on, type of thing.
Yeah. I guess I would try to, I have no real control of the sails from here, right? I can't angle the ship at all at this point.
Not from the sail perspective.
Yeah.
The only thing you have access to is the wheel, and the wheel would be to pivot directions.
Yeah, that doesn't really help us.
Yeah, so like you're going like this, you can go like, you can do this to the ship.
Yeah, that's not something we want to do. I guess I would try and... What's the range on this thing? I would... How big... Everyone is within... Is everyone within, like, 60 feet of me?
Yes.
Okay. Then, yeah, I guess I would just try and brace. Like, find a place to hold on to.
Okay.
Would Featherfall help at all? Like, we're not technically falling off of something. We're not falling through the air. But, like, would Featherfall be able to, like, cushion any of this? At least for us, because I can only do, like, 5 people.
Choose up to 5 falling targets within range. A falling creature's rate of descent slows to 60 feet per round until the spell ends. If the spell lands before the spell, no falling damage. Sure. Sounds like fun. I would say that you could apply Featherfall to you and the party. And then we're playing that game called... We're playing the physics where the car is still moving fast, but you're not type of situation. Like, you are no longer falling at the speed the car is.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So when gravity comes into play, you're not accelerating as fast as the thing.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Sure.
I mean, sucks for everyone else in the ship, but...
Yep.
I guess that's what I would just be trying to, like, brace and, like... And I'd be able to time it right.
Sure.
Like, to cast Featherfall right, you know, like two rounds or whatever before we impact or...
Sure, sounds good.
Decent enough time. Yeah. Sure.
Captain's gonna get up and proceed to, tell everybody to brace themselves, she's gonna go back to the wheel, and she's gonna try to pivot this. She's looking out over the line. She's trying to make sure that she can hold. She's making sure the wheel is angled so that you're gonna use trees as to break her coverage.
Yeah.
Type situation. So she's gonna make sure that's happening, and then she's bracing herself with the wheel, trying to do that. Enemy turn. The tieflings that are tied to your boat, that are stuck into the wall, are gonna try to not go down with you, and they're gonna try to break. And they rolled a natural 1.
They're coming with us.
They're coming down with you. They're having a real hard time, and you hear the stuttering of their engine that's not being able to compensate for the weight and the force.
The trees will get them off of the boat.
Yep, sounds about right. That's how we'll use nature as our weapon. So that's that tiefling. The top ship is just watching what's happening, kind of situation. They're taking notes. Okay, Darren, you're up.
Devin is going to hold onto something and also going to cast False Life again for some temporary hit points.
Sure.
So I get 12 temporary hit points.
Yep, you have 12 temporary hit points. Okay. At this point, top of the round, the trees are getting real close. At the end of this round, you are going to make contact with the trees. Chase, you're up.
Can I possibly cast Shatter on the tethers that are holding the tiefling ship to ours?
They were going to do that. They didn't succeed in trying to do that because between the lightning attack and then the ship falling, they never got to the trying to tether to you. Right now, their ship is just pierced into your hull.
Yeah, they had like a pointed
like a battering ram type situation. They pierced their way into their ship. They are currently in the captain's quarters, more or less pierced.
Yeah, they're like stabbed into us.
Okay.
And then they failed their retreat actions multiple times. I don't know if they retreat as much as they pillage and kind of just take over. They seem not to do really well with removing.
So I'm assuming that they are still quite scattered.
Yes, they rolled a natural one on their last turn. They are not only they're scattered, they are completely confused.
Joe, I'm just gonna brace for impact. I'm gonna stop breathing lightning on everything.
Bracing for impact, got it. Alright. Bronson, you're up.
I'll just, I guess, cast Featherfall now.
Sure.
Targeting me, the other two, and the captain.
Sure.
And, so it's five. Is there anyone else on deck?
60 feet. You can grab the closest, sail person that's in charge of sails.
Yeah, so.
Sure.
Them too, yeah.
Sure. Excellent. Captain's like, brace for impact! We're going down! Daron, you're up.
How many creatures are around me in within 30 feet?
Creatures?
People.
People. Okay, you're a party.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to cast Bless.
Okay.
So, whenever we make a attack roll or saving throw before the spell ends, we can roll an additional d4.
Can roll it. Okay.
And so. I'm also giving up the concentration of Spirit Guardian.
Spirit Guardian's gone, and you now have Bless. Okay, cool. Alright, and now it's time to make some rolls for the ship. End of turn triggers. Does the ship... let's see here. Okay, cool.
We did, boys.
You did it. So the ship is currently coming in at the right amount of speed and the right angle, and you as a group were good enough to angle it the right way and give it enough space that it's coming through. It's you are currently stopped after a massive amounts of moments of shaking. I'm going to roll for the tieflings.
Here, they just get like obliterated by a tree or what?
They did not roll well. As you're going through like one tree set, two tree set, three tree set, on the third tree set you feel a lurching sound and a awful sickening sound as you hear a snapping coming from the side, and you look over and there's the piercing part of the tiefling side of the ship, but then the rest of the ship, it snapped halfway through the deck and just broke, and that ship is now gone. It is nice. Scattered about. You hear the screams of fallings of tieflings. Your ship keeps going another like two or three more tree lines worth of like, and then eventually just crashes into and sits into a tree. You are now stuck in a tree. Because of the combination of trees and the high roll, your group is fine because of Featherfall, and everybody else on the ship is going to take half. They're going to take some bludgeoning damage from falling. But nothing ridiculous because the boat rolled well for impact and did not obliterate the families. 1d20. They're going to take 10 damage of knockabout damage.
Yeah.
You had Featherfall, so you don't have that problem. You are now in a tree. Because of the way your angle was, whatnot, and cutting into the tree line coverage, this massive forest that you fall into, it's at the precipice of the forest to the tundra. So if you're looking at my nice little map, you are somewhere between Delam and Drakamore. That whole like space right there, that walking space, that is a forested area that has little pieces of snow and bit now because it's still in the north, but it's mostly a forest, and you've crushed through it and now you're in it. It is dark. It is very much It is very much a forest. Has lots of trees. You're currently up in the tree line.
Oh, yeah.
You would need to drop some ropes and then proceed to climb down the rope line, and then you could probably make the ropes like double length, and then you can drop.
Okay.
I would say like I don't know 60 feet plus maybe whatever I need to do. I don't know how math of tree measurement is. If I'm going to do stories, I'd say like 2 stories off the ground.
Okay.
Milo's just going to pop up and just go, another happy landing then.
The captain looks over and goes, well, we've seemed to have landed. Is everybody okay? Yells across the deck.
I'm great.
Looks over at you.
Is anybody injured?
I don't know Darren's name, but I would say people below probably need help.
Captain nods.
Who needs to help? I didn't hear.
The people down below.
Yeah.
Because like everyone up here is pretty much fine.
I mean, Darren is going to go inside the boat to check on the people.
Good. You see, it bumps, bruises, some scrapes. A couple of people bounced around. No real damage. You know, a tankard fell on. You know, a wine barrel or something rolled over on somebody. You know, a couple of people got bopped around. Nothing too dangerous. Nothing too threatening. The captain looks over at you and goes, well, he looks at you, Sav, and goes, alright, well, looks over at you, surveys the whole ownership, and looks over at that and goes, well, that's not coming out anytime soon.
Yeah, luckily we're not on the sea. How long will it take to get the engines back?
We'll need to go get our master of the engines to see what they have to say, and she calls down. She's like, we might as well go and investigate. And she's like, you want to come along?
Yeah. We need to go confirm. So there was still that other tiefling ship.
Yep.
In the sky, right?
It's up there. It did not follow you directly down. So like, it's somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to be prepared for that.
Sure.
So when we go down and investigate, I want to see if there's any other, like, warriors or people who can fight down there.
Sure. You go downstairs to the deck. There's a scattering of refugees and whatnot as you're passing through, people on tourists, whatnot. There seems to be a couple, like, people that didn't have tasks to do because their skill set is specifically, like, ranger or hunter or something like that. So you found like three of them scattered about downstairs on your way towards the engine room. You get to the room where the engine is, and out comes this pissed off, sweaty, beat up dwarf. Long red beard, long red, like compared to most dwarves where they're like, you know, full long head, this one just has like a mohawk situation going on with a little bit of like just punk rocky. The captain looks over. This is Sim, and Sim's like, ah, you had to break my boat, and you can tell that there's a tension between the captain and Sim. Sim, exactly, and there's definitely a tension on like what's going on. She's like, the engines are shot, Captain. They not coming back. Then she's like patting off like her shoulders on fire. She's patting it off from Go on.
Is it a female dwarf?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Like I said, do they have beards?
Yes.
Interesting. Seven's just amazing. He's never actually met a female dwarf that he knows of.
Yep. And looks over and goes, looks at you and, you okay there, laddie?
Yeah, no, this is like best case scenario. All things considered.
Yep.
No one's dead.
Yep.
Except for the engines.
We ain't gonna be able to fix that with any form of glue and rope. That's not gonna happen. And proceeds to walk off. It's like, well, time to go surveil where we are now, and walk off.
Those tieflings have a ship.
Nods. The tieflings do have a ship. It's a possibility.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess we're gonna go. I want to go make sure the first wave of tieflings are dead, and then try and track down that second ship and use that one.
Sure.
So yeah, I guess I would say, oh, the people who the rangers and stuff should stay on the deck,
mm-hmm.
and just keep watch, and then you spellcaster and cleric, let's go.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess everybody's fine, but I can help.
Yeah, yeah. After everyone's fine, it's like, yeah. It's like, I need a spellcaster. I need someone who can heal.
Sure.
And go well, kill I have these. Barely any spells left, but...
Okay. You proceed to all group up, get to the edge of the boat where they're starting to like do the rope system. You're climbing all down the rope. Everybody's dropping down to the ground. And you get down on the ground and you look up, and the captain's like looking at the boat with like a sense of like dismay, like... This is my boat. Like you know that look. It's the look of like I.
The captain should stay on the boat.
The captain's making sure everybody's getting off the situation, and there are you. I mean, you want the captain to stay up on the ship and just sit there.
Well, help defend it. You know, lead everyone. Like, I
this is after everybody else is off the boat. Like, you've gotten everybody else off.
Oh, like even the. I figured we'd be staying on the boat.
Oh, you want to do that. That's your suggestion to the captain?
No, yeah, like, have all the passengers and all the crew stay up on the boat. Because, okay. I mean, unless it seems like it's going to fall.
You would need to send someone down to the ground to perceive where the boat is positioned.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely set the rope.
Okay, rope system's up. Down, sorry, so your rope system is up. Your group, your party, plus the couple extra, like, hunter-type people and, like, warriors come down the boat. Or proceed, or at least your party, at least gets to the ground, and you're going to surveil to see if the boat would stay in the tree line.
Yeah.
Okay. Make a perception check, and if you are or nature check, your choice.
Not survival.
Sure. I'll give you survival as well. Those are the three. You can pick one of those three. Jason's like, nope. None of these apply to me.
Does everybody roll?
Sure. We'll do a group comparison. If you feel like so inclined, Jason's like, I don't want to do it.
I got 11.
I got a 16.
Between the two of you talking to each other, Milo's like just jumping around, being you know silly in the woods. The two of you are looking at each other and looking at the way the placing is, the branches they're on. You're looking at the weight. You're looking at the way it's like shifting some things, and you're like, it can sit here for a while. It's not gonna as long as there's nothing else drops on it that seems going on. And you're looking at the.
Then I would say like it's probably safer up inside the hull with the. Guards and crew up on the deck.
Sure.
And then, we'll go find these tieflings.
Okay, so there's the three of you are just going on a walkabout.
Yeah, first heading like back along the line of destruction to try and find the first set of tieflings.
Sure. So there's the three of you are currently on a walkabout. You're going to step down from the tree line. You're proceeding to walk down the path. Not the path, but like the ground. Like you're walking through the path of the destruction that your ship made as it came through and smashed its way through stuff. And as you're walking down the path, you're looking around, and you everybody make a perception check. Let's see if we see how this plays out.
Devin rolled an 18.
Ooh,
24.
Sure.
Okay.
Ten. Sure. So as you're all looking around, you're proceeding to check to see if you could through this line of destruction. This is the moment where you get a moment of breathing. You're like, we just survived this crazy combat encounter. We got attacked by random space boats that just came out of nowhere type situation. You had a situation dealing with a space boat that brought your boat down to the ground. You survived hitting the ground. You're looking around to see, is there any more conflict going to happen right now? And as you see up in the sky... Savin, can you give me a Arcana check? I mean, it should be high because you're an Arcana something, right?
Well, Arcane Trickster, but there's no need for. Basically, no. I'm just rolling D20 here.
Sure.
9.
So you look up and. You don't really you look up and all of you are looking around and you spot the tiefling ship up in the sky. It's dropping slowly as it was before, but as it's dropping, you're watching all of a sudden as it starts to like blink and like shimmer a bit, and all of a sudden it's just not. It just seems to not be there anymore. Like it was coming at you, and you go,
yeah,
And then if you look up towards where the sun, you pivot to look at the sun to see if you can see the floating city. And as the floating city was there in the sunlight, you watch the same shimmer effect happen, and the floating city disappears as well.
Bigger bummer.
I see what you're doing there.
That's some inside knowledge over there. As the ship disappears and the city disappears, you hear like the sounds of the forest, and you hear the sounds of creatures in the woods moving, the wind coming through the whole area, the creaking of woods. You have a sense that for the first moment, and since the situation has happened, that you are not being pursued, and this is just a moment to deal with your environment.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they just turn invisible, right?
From what you're concerned, yes. From what you understand, yeah. With a 9, they just turned invisible.
Yeah.
The ship in the boat is still there, right?
You look over and the ship in the boat is the part of it that's left is still pierced into your boat. The other part, you can follow the destruction that way.
Okay. So yeah, then that's what we'll do, because just hope that they come to us, I guess. I mean, then we can't go after them. So yeah, just keep moving forward, trying to find any bodies or...
Sure.
Survivors of the tieflings.
Sure. You're going to spend about an hour's worth of time walking the distance that your boat destroyed through moving fast and falling. Scatter piece of armor here, scatter piece of armor there, a body.
When I see bodies, I make flowers with my staff of flowers and have a quick prayer and put the flower on top of them.
Okay. All right.
Tried killing us. They're dead.
They're still people. that may have had a bad fate or bad luck in their life.
Okay. You're going through each part. You're going through flower, flower, flower for this part of the body, flower. And you're still going.
So how many flowers are there? I can make up to 10.
You've made 4 so far.
Okay.
That's the 4 that you could find. You knew there were 6 on the deck, plus how many more there were floating around through the ship. You found about the 4. And then you get to the beginning of the tree line, after like another like half an hour's worth of walk, and you find the tree that was smashed in, that took the ship out of your ship, and you find the fragments of the ship just laying scattered about. It hit the ground, because it hit the tree and bounced and fell down. It's just wrecked. There is no... everybody make a perception check. It's like, I was so close!
Darren rolled a 6.
Okay. Hey, look at that!
17.
Okay. There doesn't seem to be any noise coming from that area. Or, like, any disturbances. There's no one meddling about in the wreckage.
And is there, like, chunks of the ship still intact? Or?
Okay. But they're in, like, chunks. So it's definitely, like, scattered about. In this space right here.
I guess I'm gonna go check out try and find the engine.
Yep.
If it had one, like I imagine it had one.
Sure. You're gonna scatter through. You're gonna eyeball here. You're gonna eyeball there. You're gonna look around, and you proceed to peek through a couple pieces here and there, and you get to what would be their version of their engine compartment, like what that zone was, and compared to everything else, make me a. History check.
11.
It looks intact to you. You don't know if it functions the way it needs to work, but it looks intact compared to everything else that was shattered. It seems that that part that took the damage was not the engine, but was part of the body of the ship, and that's where the impact was. The engine part just kind of was on its own.
I imagine it's huge, right?
It's a big piece.
Okay. This would be good to know. I don't know if it... See, I wouldn't know how these skyships engines work, but if we have a working one, maybe it can help with ours.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Are there more people on the boat? Like, dead people, or...
You find two more bodies scattered about on through different sections of rooms, but there are no active living people anywhere.
Yeah.
You've planted 6 flowers.
And yeah, if it's some that we couldn't reasonably, like, drag back with us, then I guess just take note of where it is, and I guess head back. Looks like everyone's dead.
You would need a group of people to gather the engines.
Yeah. Then yeah, I guess we head back. Actually, is there, I guess I would search around for any, like, insignias, or if there's any flags or anything that, like...
Sure. You're going around, you're looking around for any kind of markings or anything that would make the organization stand out to you. Yeah. And as you're going through the spaces, the only... Give me an investigation check. Let me see if you find my fun toy.
4.
Nope. No things immediately laying around that look like insignias or markings or items that would identify anything. Daron, give me a history check.
A6.
Daron, when you were growing up as a child, you recall tales of conflict within the tiefling circles and realms, and that they were bedtime stories about factions and groups that wanted to do more ambitious and darker things. You're also aware of, like, how limited there are in the number of tieflings that exist on this plane, because tieflings in themselves tended to group in groupings in hells versus being on this plane. You are one of the newer generation of tieflings that have existed on this plane in your lifetime. These ones are coming from hell.
And you gave them flowers.
I mean, they're still only souls in the end.
You hear Jace peek up in the corner.
It's not their fault they came from hell.
Alright, so I guess we should head back then and let the crew know about this engine.
Yep. Proceed.
But how did they end up here from hell? Like, it's not really our realm, right?
I mean, doesn't that wall just let everyone in? Is that something that we would know?
Backstory for people on the podcast and the audience in the game. Within the last month of in-store game time, there was a magical barrier in my plane that blocked off parts of the world due to a magical incident that no one really has good context of in the story. That barrier fell down and exploded, but not exploded in the context of, ooh, big fire explosion. It exploded through the realms and caused a dimensional damaging spell, which also weakened the defense of this realm from other realms and alerted other places, hey, come pay attention to this plane again. It used to be very protected. Now it's like, you can hang out. So there's lots of barrier breaks. You all know this event happened because of the change in the landscape of the world, but you haven't... weird things have been reported in dark conversations. In dark tavern things are starting to pop up that were stories.
I mean, I guess out of game, isn't that how most of us get here? Is through...
You are... What are you?
Human?
Yeah, most of you get here because... One more time. Going back to player care... out of game question. Give me that question again so I understand.
Like, I thought the backstory was... the backstory for how all these different characters are interacting is that we all come from different planes. Well, at least most of us.
At least, I
come from this plane.
Okay. Darren's been on this plane as a refugee type escapee type situation.
And was born here?
Yes. Or // has been here long enough to think that they are.
Okay.
Milo?
Technically a character I borrowed from a Swords Coast campaign, but we can put him in this world. I don't mind.
Exists on the plane already. Knows about things from traveling. It's up to you, Savin, if you human would be on this plane, but you would also be aware that things are happening in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I I went in with the idea that I was just, I ended up here through that wall.
Okay.
It is kind of like, but I mean, if sure, for maybe, story reasons, I can change that.
It's either way. You came from somewhere else. That's fine. That's actually interesting because then I get to put humans in other planes. Sure, you came through you can bring that up. Going, I came through the wall, and everybody else can go, what?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to add this part out, but
it's fine.
But yeah, I know when Darren brings up how they got here, I'm like, well, I mean, it's open to different planes. How I ended up here, and how I assume they did as well.
Wait, really?
Darren just looks a little bit confused and is like thinking.
That's so cool.
I mean, that's one way to put it. I've kind of separated from the rest of my crew.
Ooh. But yeah. I have ideas now. You were on a boat at some point and pulled away from your boat?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that's my
canon
backstory.
I like it a lot. That's actually really cool. Yeah. All right, we're gonna, it's canon now. Sweet. You're on your boat in your other realm in some other place, and all of a sudden, like, the barrier broke down.
It also just happens to really fit in with where my last campaign ended. But yeah, I'll explain that. Yeah, I was separated from my crew due to this, partially due to this wall of yours, and I assume that's how these Hellspawn tiefling got here as well.
So, if we find where they came through, could we go to a different place?
That's what I'm hoping.
Sounds like
I want to do it.
Okay. Darren, are you? How are you feeling about this conversation that's going on in front of you?
Well, he's just thinking because he wasn't aware of that, really.
Okay. And,
well, I believe my place is in this realm.
Sure.
And now I'm confused because.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
can just travel to others.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's at will. At least not for me.
He would definitely be concerned about his connection to his god in other places, in other realms. Because he has no experience with that.
Sure, that sounds like a reasonable thing to think about. All right, you're still walking on your way back to the boat. You're walking back to the boat. So then you all proceed to... you're walking back towards where your ship was. You're going back through all the wreckages. Can we do one more perception check as you're paying attention to the area walking back to the ship?
Darren rolled a 16.
A 10.
Excellent. As you're walking in back and you're just checking things as you're going and trying to eyeball, you're also keeping an eye out on the sky to see if anything reappears, and you're getting next to your ship. You get past another part of those fragments. You're looking over everything one more time. Your flowers are blooming. Darren, as you're looking around at everything and looking at the flowers and you're looking at the space, you see something stand out to you in the ground over on the side from all the stuff that was shattered about. There's this circular metallic spiked ball. It's about this. It's bigger than It's like as big as a large pumpkin or like a watermelon. I guess maybe two basketballs type of situation. It's shiny, smooth black ball with lots of spikes on it, and there's red paint on certain sections of it.
I just pointed out to the others.
Sure.
And tell them, don't go too near, we don't know what it is.
But I can make a thing that can go near it, and I immediately cast Mage Hand to go and touch it.
Mage Hand appears, goes ahead, pokes it, and picks it up. Nothing happens.
Oh, it's like super light?
Well, the Mage Hand can pick it up, right?
10 pounds.
Like 10 pounds, yeah.
Oh, okay, no. Mage Hand goes and picks it, pokes it, can't pick it
up. Yeah.
I mean, it seems fine to me. He's totally going to go over and pick it up. Yep, he will.
We should keep it far enough away from the boat with all of the people, though, if we bring it with us.
Because I guess it could be like a...
Why? It's not dangerous. Picks it up.
Could be a bomb.
But you don't know yet if it's dangerous. You have no idea what the thing is.
I poked it. It's fine.
Yeah, we won't. We'll keep... no one has detect magic, right?
Nope.
All right. Leave it here, because I mean, I don't know. I don't want it to be like a beacon. I guess it's pretty easy to tell where we're at, but yeah, I'll bring it with us. We're not going to put it on the ship, though.
We'll awesome. Leave it,
like... You can leave it like below the ship. We don't need to.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Yeah, we'll leave it like a good distance within like sight of the ship. We're not as
sure.
far as we can. Yeah. So yeah, we'll bring it with us.
You go over and you figure out a nice way to pick up this ball and carry it without like hurting each other and hurting yourselves. But between the two and the three of you, you can pick it up off the ground. It's deceptively heavy where it's it looks light. It looks like it should be easy to pick up with mage hand. It is not. The slightly large mass itself is still heavy enough. It also needs to be heavy in order to survive the impact, so it makes sense. You proceed to take the object with you and walk towards the ship. You are now carrying this, for lack of a better term, tiefling artifact with you as you walk towards the ship. You're walking. Everybody make me wisdom saving throws.
Oh no.
So I'm guessing I shouldn't have picked it up.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh shit. That's what I deserve.
Okay. Fail.
I'm fine. I rolled a net 20.
Okay, so you're fine. Bronson, as you're holding Savin, as you're holding it, you just feel uneasy. You're getting a sense, like, prickling at the back of your mind and at the back of your... you just feel like this is heavy, but it's also heavy in your mind.
Drop it then.
You go ahead and drop it.
Yeah. The second I start to get, like, that weird vibe, like,
yeah. Yeah, yep, exactly.
What's up?
Yep, you hear, you say that, you ask that, you see Savin just drop it. You look over, and Milo has basically gone catatonic.
A what?
Catatonic. They are standing still, not talking, not communicating, super sweating, eyes glazed over type situation. That's for what you can see. Milo.
Mm-hmm.
You're currently having a vision of hell. You are currently seeing the invasion forces of this plane, and you are currently overwhelmed by seeing the forces of the marching troops on their skyships, and they're opening up portals into different zones, and that's how their ships have been getting into the planes. They're just like boop, dropping planes and stuff in the ships, and you are now overwhelmed with massive amounts of infernal language in your mind, as it's this thing that you picked up is both an artifact, a weapon, and a beacon, and a tool and a toy that is pushing its infernal programming against you. Because of natural one, you're currently standing there overwhelmed.
I'm just going to him and be like, "Hey, are you okay? Everything's good."
How big is Milo? Like, what race?
He's a half-elf, and he's 17 and about 5.5 foot tall.
Okay. So we're going to have to subdue this guy. That's a Darren, like...
I'm starting to shake him a little. Be like, hey, dude, it's good.
Sure. No response.
All right. I'm going to... manacle his subdue his arms.
He's not moving. He's not moving and making any attacks or trying to do anything.
No, I get that. I know.
Okay.
I mean, this is my first rodeo.
Sure.
So, yeah. Behind his back. Yeah.
Sure.
Subdue his hands and sure. Get like a rag or some to because I would know that like spellcasters use their some or it's like vocal.
Sure.
We'll do like a little. Gag thing. It's like, all right, let's.
You're reacting.
Do this thing here.
Sure.
Oh yeah, I don't know if he's reacting to any of this, but I'm gonna go to do this to like.
Sure.
Darren is also going up to cast Cure Wounds because he doesn't know if he might be injured and he just can't see it.
Sure. Cure Wounds does not do anything mental damage, right? Okay.
No.
Cure Wounds gives him some health points if he lost any. That's it. Milo, make another wisdom saving throw. Let's see if you become possessed or not.
Oh, I almost want to intentionally fail it. I almost want to intentionally fail this. Well, actually.
Okay. Savin, as you approach Milo to go ahead and like try to like calm down your calm, like check in on the friends slash at the same time be a little bit wary about it. Milo's eyes shift from the glazed over like spaced out color to like deep seated dark red. Milo proceeds to go ahead and just opens his mouth and just yells at you, Infernal, and proceeds to make a...
Do I understand what he's saying?
It's the words along the lines of, die, blood starts forever. Something like that. Like, very echoey. He's going to use Hellish Rebuke against you. I think that's the one I want to use. Give me my... what level are you, Milo?
Raw 5.
Yeah, okay. Just checking. Making sure. You need to make a dex saving throw.
So I can... 15.
What is your...
15.
Excellent. So I can take half. 5d20s. Take 23 fire damage.
Oof. That hurt. So I'm 15.
Milo, I will give you control back up over your character. You are currently possessed. You see everything you see around you to you looks like you think you're yourself, and everything around you looks like attacking demons.
Oh.
You think you're in hell. You think you're being ambushed and attacked by tieflings.
Okay. Not fun.
Darren's right there, right? Next to...
Yep.
Milo? Okay.
Oh, how badly is he going to panic? Very badly. I know he's going to panic badly because he now thinks he's in hell. So he can just see a tiefling next to him.
Yep.
Instant just... hands flare up with lightning as he tries to hit with shocking grasp.
Sure. Darren, what's your armor class?
13.
Okay. Shocking grasp. 13.
So much damage do I take?
Would be... ooh, 12 lightning damage.
Okay. Proceed to be shocked for 12 points of damage. You're like, we weren't ready to just see your you weren't ready to see your half elven friend elf start looking around, yelling in another language, and starting to cast spells around at you. Savin, what are you gonna do?
I mean, try and stab him.
Sure. You're gonna stab him or stop him?
Stab. I mean, things are happening.
Sure.
Sorry, kid. I can revive you. Hopefully.
I don't have any diamonds with me.
Trying to do non-lethal stabbing?
I'm not trying to like stab him through the neck or head, but...
I mean, I can stabilize him, that's fine.
Yeah, but that's what I meant, really not revive. Yeah.
I don't really have any spells left for more healing.
Sure.
Yeah, my mentality is, Darren can stabilize him. So 25 to hit.
Yep.
And then...
I'm assuming that it hits Milo.
Oh, yeah.
So 20 damage. That was pretty good.
So the best part of this situation was that it was basically enough that you go ahead and when you do the pierce on in the shoulder type situation, is enough to shock Milo out of the situation that they're in, and the blink happens, and then Milo's just say, Milo, you're back on the plane, you're back where you were, you're currently being stabbed.
Just like, look at this sword in my sight. Ow! What the hell?
You see the red eyes are gone, the markings are gone, he's talking in common, he's back to normal himself. You literally just stabbed him and like shocked him back.
Can you take it out, please?
Not yet.
Why did you stab me?
You're gonna be fine, friend.
You're gonna survive.
Possessed.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have to take precautions, so...
I was in right now.
I felt like I was in hell.
No, I literally was in hell.
You have been screaming in Inferno and your eyes turn red.
So, yeah.
You also attacked me, and did he attack you?
Yeah, no, he almost killed me. Like, not, like,
us,
I mean...
You also attacked us both,
he did, like, 25 damage. That hurt.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but we are gonna have to subdue you. So, put your hands out. Or take the sword out first.
Can I do a thing first?
Talking to me or them?
Them, technically.
Sure.
No.
What do you want to do?
And I'm going to use my last sorcery point and subtle spell.
Yep.
A lightning bolt directly at the spiky tiefling ball.
Sure. Okay.
How dare you?
You proceed to... So Sabin's like, we have to subdue you, and you're like, hold on, I have a better idea. And you lightning call down, and you obliterate the tiefling ball in front of you.
Does it explode, or...?
I mean... how close... Are you all standing next to the tiefling ball?
I mean, we dropped it at some point, but I don't know...
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't think we really moved at any point.
We maybe moved a few meters, but not much.
This would also seem very suspect from the guy who just got, like, almost obliterated, that this possessed magic user is about to cast another spell.
Uh-huh.
So, subtle spell means I can do it without verbal or somatic components.
Oh my god.
That's really nice. So it's just happening and the thing is like...
It goes... I will say for... everybody make a dexterity saving throw, like you get to have the hot second to jump out of the way.
A 21.
You're fine.
Thank the god of luck. And
you're
fate.
Fine.
Oh, Christ.
He goes, hold on, I want to do something. And as you see that, you're both like, oh god, and you both jump out of the way. Both of you are fine. You're going to take a 2d6 worth. Oh, what's your attack's damage do?
I used lightning bolts on it.
Okay, what is it?
It's like 30, right?
8d6.
I'm gonna kill us, mate.
Oh my god, he killed himself.
No.
Oh, yeah, am I dying? Not dying.
If I'm not dying, I can stabilize everybody of you, even though I might not have any healing spells left.
Does 25 damage kill you?
It takes me down. It doesn't outright kill me.
Okay, you take 25 points of lightning damage from you blowing up the shrapnel.
And you also lost life because of Saban's attack, right?
But you also had some kind of bonus from something somewhere. A blessing or some kind
of... Yeah, so you took 20 from me and 25 here.
Okay, so that's 45 total.
Like, that's more hit points than I have.
I mean, it's more than I have.
Yeah, but it's not taking, like, half my max over the zero.
No, We're just asking if you're, like...
So you're at zero.
Oh, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah,
I'm not dead.
Yeah.
He goes in.
Yeah.
Shrapnel explosions hits the ground.
He killed himself.
But the ball is gone.
The ball is gone. The ball exploded.
So I will proceed and
stabilize him. I don't want him waking up. All right.
Yeah, I will just cast Spare the Dying on him.
Spare the Dying. So he stabilizes at zero or stabilizes at one?
He stabilizes. Living creature that has zero hit points, the creature becomes stable.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're at one hit point.
All you hear is, ow.
Does it mean he regains hit points? I don't know what that was.
So stabilizing...
No,
so
I think it's... You don't make death saves, right?
Yeah. So, like, the idea is basically you are now stabilized and you're still unconscious. You don't make death saves. You're technically at one or zero, depending on if your game is at zero, do these things or not. So it's at that benchmark of nothing negative happens anymore to me.
Yeah.
Some people, I've heard people use one because they want to make it look like you're alive. I've heard people use zero because they're arguing that zero isn't effective. But you're alive.
I would like to carry him back to the ship where we can rest and he can get, because I don't really like, I don't really have the energy anymore to cast things. Like,
we've burned up everybody's spell points.
Yeah.
I have one spell slot left.
Yep.
Yeah. So, what is Darren, race-wise?
What?
Tiefling.
What's your strength, I guess? Oh, you're a tiefling?
I'm a tiefling cleric.
Oh, I feel bad about those comments I made.
I mean, I know you don't mean me, but yeah. the tieflings that make a bad
impression.
Oh, yeah,
that make my race bad.
Ruin it for everyone else, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, you can carry him then. Because I assume you're stronger than 10?
I have minus 1.
I will carry him.
I'll carry him, drops!
I'm a cleric. I don't really use weapons.
Okay. Carrying doesn't mean dragging.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like with all right. my strength.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of us will carry him, and we'll head back to the ship.
Sounds good. You can pick it up. One of you picks up Milo, proceeds to walk off to the ship, and you're walking off with this sense of, that was a close call. That was something that could happen type of situation. You get back to the ship. You put Milo down. The ship's healer is still there that was floating around. They've got some spell points left in the day. They come down from the ship. They proceed to cast some healing spells to bring Milo back to consciousness and some pit points.
I would prefer if he was in the brig for a little bit.
You can do this healing in the brig.
Yeah.
Milo, you come to consciousness in the brig.
Wait a minute. I wasn't here.
Yeah, well, you're going to be here for a while until we can make sure you're no longer compromised.
Fine.
So yeah, when we're back, I'll let the captain and Sim,
yep.
wasn't it? The
yep.
Let them know that, you know, at this point down the path, there's an engine that seems to be intact. I don't know what they can do with that information, but there does seem to be a
yep
functioning engine from the other tiefling ship.
So you tell the captain, hey, there's an engine that we can go get that could work with the ship. Milo, you've just gone through an experience of possession and then being almost near death from your own spell and then placed in a security brig to keep yourself alive and be secured. Darren?
Well, I'm going down off the ship and like just below the ship. I search for Calm Corner because I guess up the ship there's a lot of stuff happening, people running around. And I just gonna like kneel down and pray and be like, thanks for like helping us and
sure.
stuff like that.
To your god of luck, correct?
Yeah.
And it's on that. You're sitting there and you're praying away to that. And then on that note is where we're gonna do the camera close on that on this episode. So thank you everybody for playing. And with that, we bring the end of today's one-shot episode. I'd like to thank all my players for coming in and spending the time this afternoon playing this game. I'm going to have them tell you where they can be found on the internet, and if you can give me like a one-sentence or two-sentence, 140 characters or less, little throwaway of what you enjoyed about tonight's session. So we'll start with Jace.
Cool. So you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok. Yes, that's Ooh. Now a thing. at Ace Trainer Jace.
Okay.
Favorite thing from the one shot tonight, I just love meet some combat, and I love seeing people use my favorite cleric spell, Spirit Guardians. So big up on Esser for that. I love it.
Excellent. Thank you. Much appreciated. Esser?
Well, I can be found on the internet too. My name is a little bit complicated. We can probably put it into the description.
I'll put it in the description. It's fine. Don't worry.
If I say it, nobody's going to understand it.
Sure.
And what I really enjoyed in the game was like the ball, the mysterious ball, and then the possession.
Sure.
That was really enjoyable.
Sweet.
Thanks, DM.
No worries.
Also, I've never played a cleric before, so.
Did you have fun playing a cleric?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, and our last guest, Bronson.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that we were able to not get shot out of the sky and die immediately. Really enjoyed the not dying part.
there was a little bit of tension in the air. There was a little touch and go for a second. I'm glad
we were fine. We're fine.
All right. Well, thank you very much for everybody coming in. This will be on the internet at some point. And we'll hope to bring you all back again at some point in the future to have you replay your characters and or play other characters in the world. And until next time, everybody, have a good one.
Later.
Goodbye.
Thank you for checking out another episode of the Mages and Mentors podcast. This project is part of the Scatterbrain Radio Podcast Network. Additionally, I'd like to give a big shout-out to my players this week, Esther, Jason, Bronson, as well as always for my editor, Mark. If you've enjoyed the show, please do not hesitate to leave a review on whatever platform you found us on. Any feedback helps the show grow, and it's always appreciated if you decide to share this with more of your friends. And until next time, have a good day.